This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope, East Hawaii. In this practical message entitled, Getting Past the Past, Pastor Aaron advises how the Christian can truly find freedom from his or her past. This message was delivered on November 5th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Aloha kakahiaka kako. Welcome to New Hope East Hawaii, and it's kind of weird for me right now because usually I'm the first person who gets to greet you in the morning, yeah? But because I get to do the message this morning, I asked Pastor Dennis to cover for me, and thank you so much, Pastor Dennis. We have a wonderful, wonderful worship team. You tell me, where else in the world you can find harmonica and congas on the worship team? And not only that, they're good. But I'm so pleased and I'm so thankful that I get to worship with them most Sundays. And thank you again, you guys, for covering for me. Well, again, welcome to New Hope, East Hawaii. And if you're visiting us and you expected to hear Pastor Scott speak this morning, I'm sorry. I'm especially sorry if you came last week and we're expecting him to speak then and then this week. But he will be speaking next week, okay? So I promise you that. So you got to come back one more time. Speaking of last week, how was that guest speaker that we had last week? Not bad, huh? I'm going to tell you a little secret, okay? I taught him everything he knows. Because if you weren't aware of it, Pastor Alex Pacheco is actually my dad. So I know him very well. And he did an awesome job last week. And if you didn't get to hear that message and you still want to check it out, we have the audio version on newhopeasthawaii.com. Okay, not ORG. I was going to say ORG, but newhopeasthawaii.com. You just go on there and you click on messages and you'll get the message there. I'm going to be honest about something because I remember one time sitting in one of his messages and my wife Carlin was sitting right next to me. And he said something about do this, but don't do this. And I sat there, and inside I started boiling. You know why? Because somewhere in the past, he did that and never do the other thing to me. And what's worse, never did apologize. And I mean, that was like point number two, and I didn't hear point number three or four because I was so angry. And at that point, I went and I wrote on my notes to show Carlin, I wrote, I am boiling inside. And she took my paper and then she wrote something down and then she gave it back to me and it said, now you know how I feel when you speak. And I thought, oh boy, I had to apologize to her after that. But later on, I realized, you know, I got mad at that. But what it came down to is that I was holding on to something from the past, something that happened a long time ago, something that hurt me, and I was allowing it to come back and hurt me time and time again as I recalled it. But holding on to the past does that, doesn't it? And speaking of that, let me show you a little something. This is my son, AJ. Yeah, he is single. But but I asked AJ to come up. I asked AJ to come up here and help me with a little prop here. I got these little strawberry marshmallows, and AJ loves strawberry marshmallows, yeah? Get him at KTA where he works. But I call this the monkey jar, and I don't know, I know that many of you have never seen this one before, so I decided to do it today, but this is the monkey jar, and this is actually how they catch monkeys in India, and I'll explain that later on, but right now, AJ is going to be my monkey. And these things, each one of them, represents something in AJ's past, something that hurt him. So like this one is that bully that he had in kindergarten that said mean things to him. This one is all the girls who turned him down. This is the guy who scratched his truck. And this one is all the mean stuff that Daddy said to him. Better put more arrows in there. But those things represent all the things that hurt AJ in the past. Now, what AJ is going to do is he's going to reach inside, and you can have all the ones that you pull out, okay? But here's the thing. You got to pull them all out in one pull, and you can have those, okay? So go. What's wrong? How come?
I get them all.
Because you want them all. And as long as you hang on to them, you're going to be stuck in that jar, right? So, listen to Daddy. Let him go. Let him go! Yeah. Now, go share with one girl so maybe she likes it. They say thank you to AJ. Now, the reason why AJ couldn't get him out is when he stuck his hand in, the hole is big enough for him to stick his hand in. But when he grabbed onto the marshmallows and tried to pull out, because of hanging onto that stuff, he couldn't get them out. That's how they catch monkeys in India. See, the monkeys are smart there. They live in the canopy 300 feet high. The best marksman, 1 out of 100 shots, he'll get one because they move so fast. And, you know, they don't come down. But the way that they catch them is they get one jar, actually made of ceramic, and they put them in the backyards. And they secure it down to their walls or a rock or something like that. Because the monkeys over there, you see, the region there is devoid of salt. But the monkeys have learned to break into the houses because they have developed a liking for the salt. So what the hunters do is they pour the salt in the jar. Monkey sticks his hand in and grabs a handful. And when he tries to get it out, he can't get it out. Now, all he's got to do is what? Let go. But the monkey wants that salt so bad, he hangs on. And the hunters come. They don't run. They walk up to him with this paddle, and they beat him up. And that's how they catch the monkey. I'm not going to tell you what it's for. Well, I'll tell you what it's for, because we're far from eating right now. They actually want to eat the brains. It's a delicacy there. But that's how they catch the monkey. And that's why it's called the monkey jar. Okay? But holding on to the past is just like that salt in there. And we do it all the time. We reach down, we take hold of it, and we don't want to let it go. And all we got to really do is let it go. But instead, we hang on, and it replays the scene of what happened to get us angry in the first place. And we get mad and more mad and madder, and we grip tighter and tighter and tighter. And after a while, we don't got a hold on it. It's got a hold on us. You know why we hang on? Because for some insane reason, we think that hanging on to the past gives us power over the person that made us angry in the first place. You know, one time I had to officiate over this really bad argument between two brothers. And it was so bad that I had to actually separate the two guys and talk to them apart. And I will never forget what one of those guys told me. It was one line in his whole defense. He said this. He said, "I'm more mad than him, so I must be right." And he said it with such conviction that it took every ounce of my resolve not to just start bust laughing at him. But we think that too, don't we? We're more mad than the other person, so it makes us right. But there ain't anything further from the truth. The truth is that if you're more mad than the other person, doesn't mean you're right. Just means you got less self-control. But we believe it. We believe that statement, and we hang on because it also makes us believe that we have the right to treat them any way we want. So like monkeys, we hang on. And it begins to take our lives from us, one whack at a time. Would you write this into your notes? That the past can be a thief. The past can be a thief. And Jesus addresses the role of the thief in the book of John, chapter 10, where he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And you can add those three into your notes as well. If you let it, the past will steal, kill, destroy. You know what it steals? It steals our joy, our zeal for this good life that God gave us. The Bible clearly tells us that the joy of the Lord is what? Is our strength. Ever wonder why we feel so weak when we succumb to things of the past? This is why. Because it zaps us of the joy that is our strength. And once it's done that, once it has us weakened, can step in and go for the kill. And that's exactly what it does. It kills our passions, kills our purpose, kills our relationship, and most hideously, it kills our future. Essentially, destroying our lives. But God never intended it to be that way for us. We always keep coming back to this one scripture in Jeremiah where God states, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans for good, not for destruction. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And folks, God never intends that your life be destroyed. He never intends that the future he has dreamed for each and every one of us be taken away. We are the ones who allow that to happen by allowing things of the past to beat us up. He desires that we live full, purposeful lives and that when he moves, we be fully ready and able to move right alongside him. In fact, Jesus wrapped up John 10:10 with this. He said, yes, the thief steals, kills, and destroys, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So what it really comes down to is this, that we need to choose to cooperate with Christ for the best in our lives. I always pray in this way. I pray, Lord, let your will be done. You do your thing and allow me to be obedient to do my part. When it comes to the past, we do play a vital role in overcoming it. God's part is that he'll take it. He'll obliterate it from our lives. You know what he does? He disposes of it in this thing called the sea of forgetfulness. That's what he does. You know what we do? We dive in and go after him. And we retrieve it. God does his part. But before he can do that, we got to do ours, which is to get past the past. So, how do we get past the past? First and foremost, getting past the past requires forgiveness. Getting past the past requires forgiveness. Oh boy. Pastor Aaron just said the F word again. Yes, I did. You know what? I don't like that word any more than anybody else. I mean, why should I forgive anybody who's hurt me in the past? Especially when they don't seem to care about it. I don't want to let them off the hook, right? Well, this is why. Because forgiveness does not let anybody off the hook. Except for me. Whatever has been done against me will always have to be answered for. Just not to me. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for the forgiver. It's so that we can let it go and be able to move on to the full. Jesus commanded it like this. He said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. You know, way too often, while holding on to past transgressions towards somebody else, we'll say things like, I'll forgive them if they apologize. I'll forgive them if they change. I'll forgive them if they do this and this and this. There's always an if. Listen closely to this one. If is never a part of forgiveness. If that's a requirement for you to forgive, then you better be prepared to be angry for the rest of your life. Ephesians 4 said, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know how God forgave us? It says that he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever so believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. Period. No ifs involved. In fact, if there was anybody in this whole world who should have had the right to be bitter at all, then that would have been Jesus Christ. He was ridiculed, he was beaten, he was nailed to a cross to die, and all this when he hadn't done one thing wrong. And being God himself, he had the right to call down fire from heaven. Instead, what did he do? He simply looked down at everyone, and with compassion, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know why he did that? He did that because when it would be all said and done, when it was over, he knew that it would all be in the past. And God is not concerned with your past. He desires a glorious future, a wonderful eternity for you. Again, when it really comes down to it, forgiveness is always more for us than the other person. 9 out of 10 times, when we're mad at somebody, they have no clue what's going on. They're oblivious. They go on with life. Well, we're getting life sucked out of us. I know this. When I forgive, it releases me more than the other person. And it helps me to begin to get past the past and start enjoying the present. Forgiveness is vital to getting past the past. In fact, it's the most important thing. Forgiveness breaks the chains that imprison us to the past. Without forgiveness, we cannot begin to move on to the second requirement, which is resolution. Getting past the past requires resolution. And funny that I should have this word in here today, because here we are. We already in November, less than 2 months away from making new resolutions in accordance with the new year. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of us actually kept or accomplished our resolutions for this year? Better question. How many of us actually kept or accomplished one resolution from this year? I have. One. At least I'm still working towards it. You see, these past 30 years ago, I had a really bad injury playing football. 28, actually. 20 years ago, I hurt myself real bad. How many of you saw Gordon Hayward in his first game with the Boston Celtics? Dislocated his ankle and broke his tibia, yeah? I had the same injury. So they had to do reconstructive surgery on my ankle. While I was still young, healed up good. But 28 years later, it's not so easy. Especially when I've been inactive all these years and I put on so much weight. So at the beginning of this year, I thought, man, I want to run again. To be honest, I haven't been running for the last, maybe 2 years. Since 2015 was the last time I got to play softball. And I thought, I want to play softball again. I want to play basketball. So I'm going to get back into shape. I'm going to strengthen this thing up. And I'm going to be able to run again one day. Well, I've been trying to work out as much as I can. I think since the beginning of the year, I'm at least down 15 pounds. And about a month ago at my job, my boss, he's working on the excavator, and he's like 100 yards away from me in the yard. And I hear him beat the horn, and he waves at me. And if you know my boss, he's real jittery. So everything looks urgent. And so I'm far away, but I start walking real fast. Next thing I know, without even thinking about it, I'm jogging towards him. And then I'm running a little bit faster and a little bit faster, then started to hurt, so I slowed down. But then I got to him and he opened the door and he said, "Wow, it's the first time I ever seen you run." And I looked up and I smiled at him and he said, "Don't do it again." But that's one resolution that I kept from this past year. How about this for a resolution this year? That I resolve to resolve the issues in my past, the ones that hold me back from being all that God meant me to be. That's a good resolution, yeah? And don't wait for January to start this. Start it today. See, forgiveness breaks the chains of the past. Resolution turns us to head in the right direction. Without resolution, we'll always find ourselves looking back at the past. One time I had this marriage coaching session and was with a couple who wasn't doing well at all. And their issue wasn't any of the usual suspects. Wasn't infidelity, wasn't indifference, wasn't the kids, and it wasn't money. See, their issue was his struggle with her past, even before he even met her. To be very, very blunt, she had a very colorful past, and he could never resolve to get past it. In my last session with them, it was actually just with him. I believe that God gave me some things to say to him. Three things. And one of them was really, really profound. So much so that I remember it vividly sitting with him there. And I think it's something that we could all live by. See, first I told him this. I said, these things that he was challenged by were things that happened before he even met her. So truthfully, he had no jurisdiction over those things. And he agreed. Second, these were things that already were in the past and he couldn't do anything to change them. And again, he agreed. And here's the profound part. With those things considered, I told him, if he couldn't get past her past, then he would lose out on enjoying her future, their future together. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's deep. And I thought, after saying that, I thought, for sure, he would get it. For sure, he would resolve that issue, get past the past, and they would live happily ever after. I wish we could say that's what happened, but it's not. Instead, he sat there with a blank stare and he looked at me and said, "Pastor, I don't know how to do that." And I looked at him and my final words to him was, "Don't know or don't want to." I know so many times we can be just like that when it comes to the issues in our past. Either we don't know how to resolve them or we just plain don't want to. Now, I can't do anything about it if you don't want to. Nobody can. But I can tell you how if you're willing, but just don't know how. Especially if those things are things that just seem bigger than you are, which is more than often the case. Because no matter how big those things seem, listen to this, our God is always bigger. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." That's how you resolve the issues, especially the ones that seem bigger. This one is worded out of the New Living Translation version. Other versions you might have heard it as is, "Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And that's how we resolve any issue from the past, by letting go and letting God. And I know you've heard that one too, so many times already. Might even be sick of hearing it. I once told somebody that. I said, "Let go and let God." And he responded, "Aaron, I'm so sick of hearing that. You pastors, you keep saying that to me over and over again." I'm going to tell you the same thing I told him, okay? I'll make a deal with you. You start doing it, I stop saying it. Give all your worries to God. Most of these things that hinder us are way bigger than what we can resolve. That's true. But they're nothing to our God. He can resolve anything. Nothing too big, nothing too small. We just have to be willing to allow Him to. Like I said before, resolution turns us in the right direction. Takes us from constantly looking at the past toward looking to the future, which allows us to begin requirement number 3, which is evolution. Getting past the past requires evolution. Now, I know that you hear this term, evolution, and automatically you start thinking in scientific terms. I want to challenge you today, right now, to start thinking of this in a spiritual way. Because the evolution I'm talking about is a heart change, which leads to a mind change, which leads to a change in lifestyle. That's what I'm talking about. See, forgiveness breaks the chains. Resolution faces you in the right direction. Evolution gets you moving in the right direction. Let me tell you one more of my resolutions for 2017, one that I made in January. And this one is overcoming road rage. I made this one because I just got so sick of losing so much of my life being angry because of the things that happened while I was driving. And Carlin can vouch for that, that sometimes I would stay angry for days, replaying the incident in my head, even looking for that person who offended me. You know, I thought this one would never happen. I thought this one was something that I would never be able to overcome. But sometime in the beginning of the year, it was either the end of January or the beginning of February, I talked about my road rage from up here. And right after the service, one of the guys came up to me, and he said, "Can I talk to you?" And then he told me this. He said, "You gotta stop saying that you deal with road rage. Because I believe with all my heart that God has already helped you overcome it. You just got to stop saying it." And I thought about that, and I was really convicted by that. So much so that every time since then that I wanted to say that road rage is a problem for me, instead, I would purpose to say to myself, "No, road rage is not a problem for me anymore. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I have overcome." Also, I cannot tell you how much happier I am driving nowadays. At first, I thought everybody just became better drivers all of a sudden. But no, I realized that still there are many not so good drivers out there. The difference is I have decided to evolve, to stop saying it. And it's changed my heart, which has changed my thinking, which has changed the way I choose to react to the situation. Wasn't too long ago that I was driving with my daughter CJ, and we were going to pick up mommy from work. And she was talking up a storm like CJ always does every opportunity she gets, until somebody made this left turn right in front of us. It was so close, I had to slam on my brakes so that we wouldn't bang. And then she got real quiet, noticeably quiet. But after a while, she said, "Daddy, you okay?" And I said, "Yes, darling, why?" And she said, "Because you didn't chase after that lady who cut us off. In fact, you didn't even get mad and yell at her." And I laughed and I said, "I have decided that I don't deal with road rage anymore. If you've noticed, I don't even say that I do." And I got mad at her. But as soon as it was over, it was in the past and it was done with. And I left it there. You know what she said? She laughed, she looked at me, and she said, "Yeah, right." Because I have been doing that for so long. She had a hard time believing what she was seeing. But it's true. Road rage is no longer a problem for me. It's in the past because I have chosen to evolve beyond it. The Apostle Paul, he wrote it out like this. He said, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, that, my friends, is what evolution is all about. It's about moving one step at a time in the right direction, about changing the heart, which allows the thinking to change, which allows the actions and reactions to change, which allows us to get so far past the past that it's not even an afterthought anymore. You know what you start thinking about when you reach this point? You start thinking about the fourth requirement, which is eternal perspective. Getting past the past requires eternal perspective. You know how you can tell a person who has eternal perspective? The outstanding characteristic of a person with eternal perspective is that they always have the joy of the Lord in them. No matter what happens in their lives, up or down, good or bad, they don't waver. And most of all, they never dwell on the past. They're slow to anger, quick to forgive, and even quicker to love, no matter what the circumstance. That sound like somebody we know? Like maybe God? You know why they like that? Because just like God, they see the big picture. They don't focus on the temporary, the things that will pass. They focus on eternity. Colossians 3 states it well. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." The full equation looks like this. Forgiveness breaks the chains. Resolution turns you in the right direction. Evolution gets you moving in the right direction. And eternal perspective gets you there, gets you past the past. I'm going to share one more scripture with you before I take you to today's bottom line. And I said this one earlier, but I want us all to see this one written out because this is a powerful, powerful promise from God. It's Jeremiah 29, 11, where he says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You may or may not have noticed that I placed a hidden acrostic in your notes today. Just worked out that way. And it's the word free. And that is the bottom line of today's message, that getting past the past sets me free. Free to enjoy the present and the future that God has planned for me. Amen. Amen. Well, when you're done writing all those things that I put in there, you can put your notes away. And we're going to do something that we get to do every once a month. We do this the first Sunday of every month. We're going to take communion together. And communion is really the epitome of getting past the past, because this is what we get to remember as we do. The ushers are coming around and they're passing out elements. It's a little piece of bread and some juice. And as they are, the piece of bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for us, represents all the things that have hindered us in the past, the things that we've done wrong, the things that hold us back. That's what they represent, that Jesus Christ laid down his body and it would be broken so we could get past the past. The juice, in the same manner, represent the blood that washed us free from all those things. It was the blood that he shed on that cross that wiped all those things clear. And this morning, as we take communion together, I'm just going to ask you to remember that. Remember that. Anytime something in the past, again, is hindering you from moving forward, Jesus paid this price so that we could have a glorious future with him. Don't ever forget that. As the ushers continue to finish passing out the elements, I'm just going to have you sit quietly for a while, just for a moment, just to think on some of those things that are holding you back. And then what I'll ask you to do is, as soon as you do, let them be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Essentially, what it comes down to is that we remember that Jesus was saying, no more monkeys, no more hanging on to these things. I've paid the price and you can let them go. Let go and let God. The Bible says that on that night, Jesus took that piece of bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body. It's broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And then likewise, he took the cup. He said, this is my blood poured out for the ransom of your sins. Let's drink together. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your amazing love. And right now, Lord, we just want to remember what you did for us. And Father, you laid it all down. Sacrifice yourself. Because you didn't want to imagine eternity without us, Lord. So we thank you. Right now, Lord, remind us of that glorious eternity that we have in you, in Christ Jesus. And allow us to not let the past hold us back from enjoying the present and the glorious eternity you have. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we give you all of the glory. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can go ahead and pass your cups through the aisles and the ushers will be picking it up. And then would you stand with us? And we're going to go out in song this morning.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.